Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat?' or 'What are we to drink?' or 'What are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching from the AMBO because I had to go to the orthopedic surgeon on Thursday, and so I have to have some knee surgery, and so rather than stand out there and eventually flop in front of you, I thought it better just to be able to have something to hang on to for a while. He did say to me, I can wait till the end of the semester, and God willing, I'll make it till then. So praying that I can make it till the end of the semester. Today, our scripture readings, particularly the gospel, is chock full of so much. There are two biggies. One is about money, and the other is about a standard thing. Most of us are affected to some degree, and some to a great degree, worry or anxiety. I read a story about, fictional story, about a wealthy man who invited four of his married children to dinner. So he says, you know, I'm getting, you know, up there in years, and I have lived a full life for which I'm grateful, but I continue to be disappointed that none of you have given me grandchildren. So tomorrow, I'm adding a provision to my will. It will state that the first of you who presents me with a grandchild will receive an extra bonus of $1 million. Now, let us bow our heads and pray. With great grace, they close their eyes, bow their heads, and said a short prayer. And when the dad opened his eyes and looked up, guess what? They were gone. Money can be a powerful incentive, can it? And it's not all bad. Money has its uses, of course, and it can be a healthy incentive. But the trouble, the trap we fall into, is when money becomes our obsession. I was thinking about the biographer. His name is Philip Goudela. He often went around the country lecturing about how to write a biography of people. And he used to say that a biographer's most difficult task was to find out really the essence of the person about for whom you're writing the biography, what really makes them tick. So then he described what he did when he wrote the biography for the Duke of Wellington. In order to find sort of hard evidence of Wellington's true character, he delved deep into the Duke's checkbooks. He said that in that process of going through the check stubs and the canceled checks, he was able to discern Wellington's deepest concerns. In today's gospel story, maybe the lesson for us today, Jesus confronts us with a couple of radical decisions. The first, he says to us, is no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and follow the other or love the other. You'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve both God and Mammon. Now, it's limited meaning, but primarily about money. You cannot serve both God and money. That's why Jesus says, well, therefore I tell you, do not even be anxious about your life, about what you wear, what you eat, about your body, maybe even your knees. It's not more than food or body or clothing, he goes on to say. So he's confronting us with yet another radical decision, if you will. He's talking about the anxious worry, kind of the zealous kind of worrying that leads us away from our dedication to the rule of God, which is the fancy way of saying following God's will. We cannot live under the will of Almighty God and under the burden of anxiety or excess anxiety simultaneously. So how are we to respond? Well, Jesus tells us in the Gospels that we conquer anxious worrying by trusting God unconditionally. He's telling us that our God is trustworthy. Now, it's interesting because this can be a real problem for all of us who come to church regularly and live our faith, because we hear it all the time, you know, trust God. We hear it so often that sometimes I don't think it clicks anymore. We're tired of kind of that old cliche or kind of that pious religious saying. The attitude is what Jesus is getting at today. He's teaching us that it's not merely a surface religious expression. It is the very essence of our Christian life. It's a style of living by following the example of the Lord himself, the Master. It's a style in which we trust completely in the Lord's loving presence so that we are empowered moment by moment, day by day, to effectively deal with those anxious worries that can well up. Now notice I said deal with and not get rid of them. We're all going to have anxieties of some sort, but trusting in God's promise, we know that he will never abandon us. That's the heart of that very short Isaiah reading. I will never leave you alone. He'll never withdraw from us or cast us aside. And when we are so consumed with sort of excess worry, we're robbed of so much. We're robbed of life's joy, of the spiritual nourishment we need to grow. We rob ourselves of our fullest human potential. The kind of destructive anxiety, that's what Jesus is warning us about, makes us really, in effect, turn in on ourselves. But that's what Master we're following in that case. It robs us of a rich ability, then, to reach out to others when we're so self-centered. So if you think about it today, what is your biggest anxiety? Is it destructive, anxious worry about money? Is it some material thing you so desperately wanted but don't really need? Is it the fact that you're aging and maybe some body parts are falling apart? Whether your anxious worry for the moment is over your age or your money or the lack thereof or any of 100,000 other possibilities, our Lord wants us to know that we're not alone. He wants us to know that if we're really listening to his word, sacred scripture, we will know that he is in fact listening to our concerns. Do not be anxious, he says, about what you shall eat or what you shall wear or what you shall drink. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be given you besides. He isn't telling us today, our Lord, to forsake our responsibilities. Rather, he's telling us to carry them out with sort of a calm, quiet dignity. He's telling us that our attitude toward money and work and relationships must be done in harmony with the Lord's will, God's will. Which led me to a story I read about a man who found a magic lantern. And for years, every time he rubbed it, the genie would appear and grant him any wish he wanted. This went on for years. The man was a real worrywart. And because of his anxious worries, he kept that genie busy 24/7, 365. Until one day, he rubbed his magic lantern for the umpteenth time, and the genie appeared and said, "You know what, I've about had it with you. I decided we're going to settle this arrangement once and for all. I will grant you 3 wishes and nothing more, and then we're done." Well, the man made his first wish immediately. He asked that his wife would disappear so he could have a better wife. Well, his wish came true just like that. But when his friends and relatives started telling him, when she was gone, well, he started realizing what good qualities she in fact had. So he called up the genie and said, "Look, I want my first wife back." Boom. Given to, back to him without hesitation, which left him only one wish left. So now he began to fret and become anxious again, worried about what he would do with this third and final wish. Well, he said, "I'm not going to make another mistake, since I won't be able to correct it." So he went everywhere for advice, seeking everything he could find. Some told him to wish for immortality. And I said, "Well, if I get sick," he reasoned, "what good would immortality be? Because I'd spend all eternity being sick." Maybe he told himself, "I should wish for good health." Then he said to himself, "What good is health if I don't have any money? And what good is money if I don't have any friends?" Well, many years passed, and he still fretted and worried and was anxious. Couldn't decide on health or wealth or power or money or a dozen other things. Finally, in desperation, he cried out, "Someone, please tell me what I should wish for." And then a quiet voice within said to him, "Ask to be content, no matter what you are given." The long and short of today's gospel is, when we rest alone in God, whatever you ask for, you will be content. In addition to that, we get an ironclad guarantee from our God today. Seek first his kingdom, and everything you wish for will be granted you.